Welcome back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Trevor Everett. Before we get into today's interview with Queens men's basketball coach Grant Leonard, first let me talk to you about SeatGeek, the presenting sponsor of the Two Pointers Podcast. Code Two Pointers, TWOPOINTERS. Code Two Pointers gets you $20 off your first purchase in the app or online, SeatGeek.com. Click the link at the top of the description before you listen to this interview. If you are looking for tickets to concerts, sporting events, I know college basketball is over, but the NBA is still here. The playoffs, play-in games are just finishing this week. Go check out some good basketball, maybe a concert in your town. $20 off your first purchase, SeatGeek. SeatGeek has a really integrated app, really well-integrated app where you can view your seat in most arenas to be able to know exactly where you're sitting before you sit there. So super easy to use, super affordable, $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Don't forget Two Pointers Podcast, Twitter at Two Pointers. Be keeping up with everything I'm doing this weekend. I'll be at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament by the time you're hearing this. You'll see some content if you want to hear from my thoughts on some of the seniors that are playing there in front of all 30 NBA scouts. I'll have a podcast recap probably later the middle of next week, as well as probably an article about my thoughts on the PIT and some performances there, some guys I think that really helped their draft stock. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to the NBA playoffs. The preview will come out next week, right before everything really gets kicked off here. And then Draft Chat returns next Friday with No Ceiling Zone Nathan Grubel. So a lot of really fun things coming. Keep up with everything on Twitter is the best place to go, at Two Pointers, but everything else is linked in the description below. First of all, thank you to Coach Leonard for giving me some time. I know I mentioned at the end driving through Charlotte's nerve-wracking enough, but you know, on the way to different things, recruiting visits, I'm sure, things like that. We're in the heat of it in April here, so I appreciate him and his time. He gave me 20 minutes. We went over a lot of great things about Queens Division I jump, as well as some guys that were integral in that, and then some experiences with his previous coaching with the TBT. So really awesome interview. Thank you to Coach Leonard for the time. Enjoy the show. All right. Joining me today is Coach Grant Leonard from the Royals of Queens University in Charlotte. I look forward to talking to you today. Little intro. You've been the head coach since 2022, but been on staff since 2016. We'll talk about that for a little bit here. I've got a couple questions. You guys had a really big year for my listeners that might not know. I'll go through a little bit about what happened this year. 18-15 record in opening year in Division I. If I get anything wrong, Coach, you correct me, but I hopefully got this stuff narrowed down here. You had some really big wins on the calendar this year as well. You had a season opener versus Marshall, who had obviously Tavion Kinsey and Andrew Taylor were both 220-point-per-game scorers, so those were some tough guys to go up against. You guys also, I missed this originally, you went to Fairleigh Dickinson and played against Coach Tobin Anderson and his squad that obviously slayed the Giant and beat Purdue in the tournament 16-1, which was really, really awesome. And then the tough Owls of Kennesaw State, you guys split the season series and had that tough loss in the ASUN tournament by one. Obviously, they eventually went on to make the NCAA tournament, so a very tough team there. Coaching for almost 20 years at many different levels, how would you describe the feeling of the first full year in Division I?
I thought it was a great experience for our guys. Our administration made the move. It's not just for men's basketball, it's for all sports, and their goal with it is to give our players a better experience. And I thought we accomplished that in year one with the travel, going to Jamaica, the teams we played, the platform and stage that we got to do it on. And so I thought we built a really solid foundation in our first Division I year, something to build on. We do expect to play for and win championships here at Queens. And I think we're laying the foundation going forward that we can do that.
Yeah, some of those opponents there, like I said, like Marshall's got that dynamic duo on the backcourt. But talk to me about coaching against Tobin Anderson, who, of course, obviously just, like I said, they slayed the Giant and beat Purdue. And he was a very confident, you know, man. As soon as they won that 16 Dayton game, he was like, you know, the more I watch this Purdue team, I think we can beat them. And he backed it up and obviously got the Iona job. But tell me a little bit about Coach Anderson and some of that matchup you guys had.
So Coach Anderson and I call him Tobin. We're actually friends, and we've been friends for years. Great man first. And I think the biggest thing he does is build culture. And what his teams at St. Thomas Aquinas before he went to Fairleigh Dickinson were hugely successful in Division Two. And moving forward, I knew he was going to have success at Fairleigh Dickinson. I didn't know it happened that fast, and I applaud them. But we went up there, and I thought we played pretty well right before Christmas, and beat them soundly. They had a guy or two out, and we were on a crazy road trip. But I was really happy with how our guys performed out in New Jersey, and they're actually going to come back down here to Charlotte this next year.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the flowers giving it to him, because he obviously, you mentioned the culture. He was one of the first guys this year to really announce his full staff, which is like shows me we're ready, we're dug in. So I'm really glad giving his flowers there. Awesome to speak on that relationship. I mentioned briefly at the end of that intro that you guys obviously had to go to Kennesaw and play in the ASUN tournament. And I love picking people's brains on this. Obviously, some conferences has a designated site, like in Greensboro. Of course, the ACC tournament's there every couple of years. But are you a fan of a conference neutral site, or do you like that environment where you have to go to Kennesaw and you've got to try to slay them in their building? Obviously, 1-point loss is just so tough. I was watching that game, and I know y'all wanted that one really bad. But like, are you a fan of that environment being in that home arena, or are you more of a keen on the neutral site?
I think the regular season matters. And Kennesaw won the regular season. And so in my opinion, they earned the right to have an advantage. And so if we're going to beat them, we got to beat them there. It was sold out and it was an unbelievable environment. And so I'm a huge proponent of the regular season having way more value than sometimes that we allow it. And so, yes, let's go to Kennesaw. Let's go to Liberty. Let's go to play a team that deserved it, that really performed the regular season. And if we got to beat them, we got to beat them at their place, their fans, and then hopefully in the next year or two we're the ones hosting and we've earned it. And so yeah, I our guys love playing in that environment. Kennesaw did an unbelievable job building their home court advantage. I don't think years ago that they could have filled that arena, but they could this year, and our guys loved every second of it. I know we came up a little bit short at the end, but I thought we battled, and we didn't lose that game because we were playing at Kennesaw. I don't think we lost that game because they were able to make one or two more shots than us.
Yeah, it was definitely an awesome fought game. You mentioned the environment. Obviously, the game before, the crowd was completely different, and then their fans really did show out, like you said. So that's the reason I asked that, because it just seems like that environment flips whenever the home team's there. So I did a breakout player prediction article I'm starting to do every year now, where once we get the roster set in September-ish, I'll do like a, hey, you know, this is what I've seen from now. The transfer portal is going to make this very tough. But, hey, you know, this is a guy I think can impact each team in Division One in North Carolina. Obviously, you guys 30-4 last year, if I got that correct, jumping up and having a great year. I chose the UNC Asheville transfer, Mr. BJ McLaren. So talk to me a little bit about his impact this year. He's your third leading scorer and how he helped you guys be successful.
I mean, the first thing I can say is what our culture environment about is being an everyday guy and getting 1% better daily. And BJ lives that, you know, to a T. He got here and he wasn't really a prolific shooter. And for a good portion of this year, he was leading the league in 3-point field goal percentage. And he wore down a little bit at the end of the year because he was playing our starting center, Gavin Raines, got hurt, and he was probably playing a little too many minutes at the five. But BJ did an unbelievable job filling in those shoes. I thought he got exceptionally better defensively. He really developed as a prolific shooter, can also score on the block and around the rim. And so his ability to score on multiple levels was really important to us, and his ability to draw other teams, you know, pivot men out of the paint because they had to honor his 3-point shot, really opened up the paint for our guards. And so just his presence on the floor at times was worth more than just what he actually produced. And so I think he's going to have a huge senior year for us. And he's really like right now, he sees the fruits of his labors and is really putting his head down and working, because I think he sees a huge senior year coming for himself.
That's a great segue. You talk about huge senior years, and I'm going to relay this question for those that might not know this, but I mentioned your time there, and you've had a chance to be around. I'll lay out his resume a little bit. He's your all-time leader in scoring, assists, games played, games started, and minutes played in the career. You know exactly who I'm talking about. The listeners might not. This guy spent his, you know, 4 full years, had a great time with you guys. Tell me about your relationship with Kenny Dye.
Man, it goes back a long time because he played 5 years, but I also was a key part of his recruitment. Coach Lundy loved him. I liked him, not as much as Coach Lundy did. I'll give Coach Lundy credit. He saw something in Kenny that no one else did. But I called him and reached out to him when he was in high school, summer before his senior year, and we developed a relationship. And I'll be honest, Kenny recruited us as much as we recruited him. He wanted to be at Queens. He loved the school, the environment, how our culture and team operated. He's a very focused kid, and that's why he's had so much success. To be honest, he was the highest rated recruit we had, but he worked so hard, never ever took his foot off the pedal, and got better daily. And years later, he scored more points in college than he did in high school. And I always laugh at that because his team was unbelievable in high school. His junior and senior year, they're 62-1, and he probably averaged 12 a game. And his senior year in college, he averaged just 17. And he worked on it. I think his senior year in high school, he hit 12 threes. And to give that context, I think he hit 75 or 80 this year, as a senior in college. So the amount of work he put on his game was unbelievable.
So I'll save the TBT stuff for the end. The great context there on Kenny. I know that people are like, oh, like that. These teams jumping up and they're being successful. And it's like I like to want. I want to understand. Especially, I'm from born and raised in North Carolina, so I'm always going to root for the schools here. So I'm just wanted to give people context on why you guys were successful. This coming year, you mentioned a couple of other games you've got on the calendar, but there's got to be this really big one you're probably circling. Whether it's a big one because you're a fan of it, or whether it's a big one because people care because it's Cameron Indoor, but give me really quick. Would this be your first time in Cameron Indoor?
No,
Okay, good.
I've been there for recruiting trips before. They
Okay.
host some tournaments there. It's funny. My brother and his wife both went there. My brother's got a PhD from Duke.
Wow.
His wife's got an undergrad from Duke. And it's funny because I actually always would needle them. I'm not a huge Duke fan, but I've always respected what they do and how they do it. Unbelievable, like the sustained success they've had. So I really respect how they operate, but it's a big game, and not to pump it up a little more, in the last 7 8 years, we have more wins in the state of North Carolina than they do. And so it's
Fair.
the two winningest programs in the state going against each other. Now obviously we did a lot of that at the Division II level, but I'm going to pump that up, just to add some excitement to the game. But for our players, our alumni, our administration, I, unless I'm wrong, they're probably going to be preseason number one in the country. If not, they'll be in the top two or three with what they return and what they're getting. And it's just going to be a huge game for our school. It'll be the first time ever playing on that type of stage and platform.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable atmosphere. I got a chance to go in February for the first time. Like I said, living here and born and raised here my whole life. It's just a place that you just, unless you're just like keen on going or you want to spend a bunch of money, it's a great place. And it's just like people call it college basketball royalty. So it's really, really great cathedral environment. And I love everything about Cameron Indoor. The reason I asked that question was not to be like, well, hey, you're coaching against Coach Shire and all that stuff. He's got a great first year, and he's obviously going to, like you said, bring in a lot, and they've got a lot of guys returning. What's an underrated atmosphere or environment or school that you've coached at that people might not be like, yeah, that one actually.
Ah, we're going to go Division II route,
Oh, I like
and
it.
I'm going to tell you, it can rival Duke. It might be better. Their student section is unreal. They have, an unbelievable dance team, a DJ, the step show at halftime. The environment is unreal. It's nothing like I've ever experienced before. And so, if you want to have some fun and you don't want to cost a couple $1,000 to go to Cameron, go to Winston-Salem State, catch a CIAA game, and you'll see great basketball, but an unbelievably fun home environment. It's amazing.
I love it. Giving some respect to the home state stuff. That's really neat. What would you, before I get to the TBT stuff, what would you say you said you want to win championships. You want to, obviously the A-Sun's going to have some really good teams next year. Coach Davenport at Bellarmine, and a couple other teams that are keen on trying to get back. Kennesaw obviously just changed a couple of things on their staff, but What are you looking to get out of next year? I don't want to ask the typical, like, what's the goal? We obviously know the goal. We want to win the A-Sun. Obviously, there's some restrictions there about the NCAA tournament that is out of your control. But, you know, what's the goal? What are you telling your guys to get them prepared? Obviously, we're months away here in April.
Yeah, I mean, we're a very process-driven team. So, you know, we're going to continue to have a daily goal to try and win today and get better. We really believe that we can be at the top of the A-Sun. And obviously, we want to compete for that. But more importantly, I think we're going to have smaller goals. You know, defensively, this was probably our statistically worst year in a long time. So we have some defensive improvements to make. Offensively, we were pretty good. And so we're going to really focus down and hunker down on those smaller individual goals defensively. We need to do a better job forcing turnovers. We need to do a better job of contesting shots. And we need to do a better job a little bit on the defensive glass. As good as we were rebounding, we weren't great defensively rebounding. We were phenomenal offensive rebounding, but we got to have that translate to the other side of the ball. And we had games where we showed we were capable, like Florida Gulf Coast in the conference tournament. They didn't get an offensive rebound, but we need to be able to maintain that for an entire season. And that's really going to be our team's focus, is to improve those areas.
I love it. Yeah, you guys had an unbelievable year, and I look forward to – my cousin and I are definitely going to come down and catch a game. I told you before we started, she had the pleasure of playing on the women's team from 16 to 20, so I know she's excited, and I know the environment there. She's been telling me about it for years, and I haven't had a chance to come down, so I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely get down that way and see some games this year. Only about 3 hours for me, so – let's do the TBT before I let you go. I had the pleasure a couple months ago to talk to Dr. Nick Elam. Love everything about him, everything that he's doing for the, you know, the way he's thinking about basketball and the way he's trying to change the game. Obviously, people famously know the Elam ending that's been featured in the NBA All-Star Game. And obviously, it's the headline of the TBT tournament, the basketball tournament that's held every year in the summertime. I told you before we started, I'm a TBT truther through and through. I love it. I'm looking forward this year, fingers crossed, going to Louisville if I can make the drive to go see that one. It's one of the best environments there at the, believe it's now the KFC Yum Center, I think, if that's right. But they held it in Louisville. It's one of the best environments there for the TBT. So you obviously had the pleasure of coaching and being the general manager of the Team D2, which I think is awesomely fitting that was, you know, the environment that you got to continue to build up for a couple of years and help flourish. But the TBT, obviously, for those who don't know, is a single elimination 64-team tournament that has a grand prize of over $1 million now, with some extra sponsors thrown in this year. And you obviously had some pretty good success making the round of 32 or better all 3 years. So all that long-winded to be said, giving it some background, what is your elevator pitch to maybe a casual basketball fan that is like, I need to see some hoops in the summer, but I don't, you know what to watch? What's the pitch on TBT? Like, give me an elevator pitch on it.
Probably some of the best basketball you'll see, grown men, you know, that are playing in a hybrid of college and pro rules, but that are professional basketball players, and it is a winner takes all single elimination, so they are playing balls to the wall every single possession. And to be honest with you, it is a phenomenal brand of basketball. And I think the TBT is genius for how they've set it up and how they've developed it and marketed it.
You're going to have a really awesome opportunity flipping it a little bit. You're going to have the TST, the soccer tournament, is going to be played in Charlotte this year at Bank of America. Some very, very large names in the soccer world in Europe are going to be playing in this soccer tournament in a very similar fashion. So it's going to be really cool right in your backyard. I encourage people who are near Charlotte or at any place that they're having it to go and see that environment for the soccer part of it. But also if you're near Louisville and Wichita State, and I think Omaha is going to get another one this year with Creighton as well. One last thing on the TBT. I know that I mentioned the NBA part of it and things like that, and I was watching a broadcast. I think it was somewhere, might have been towards the end of the regular season or the beginning of the postseason for college basketball this year, and somebody was like, this is why we need the Elam ending, and it was like because guys are going back and forth. They couldn't score in overtime for like the whole overtime. So what is your stance? Do you think it has a place at high-level basketball like college basketball or the NBA, or is it something that we don't see for a while?
1,000% I do. I think the first move will be to start to implement it in overtime periods. I think people still are set on the traditional ending. You know, I think it takes people time to wrap their mind around it, but it is a way cleaner version of basketball, in my opinion. There's no fouling, there's no clock stalling, stuff like that. It makes you finish the game more naturally. I do think the NBA will probably be the first one that goes to it. I think they'll do it, you know, in overtime and have a set number, you know, that you can win to. So there's no double, triples, quadruple overtimes. And we'll see from there. I just think the TBT was genius in doing it. I can tell you this, a big part of my career, I probably wouldn't be head coach at Queens if it wasn't for the TBT. It allowed me to first team I've ever coached, but as it developed, I developed it into a program, which now someone else is taking over, and I'm very proud of them to doing that, giving someone else an opportunity. And I can tell anyone this, in any career you want to be successful at, don't turn down an opportunity. And, you know, I invested some of my own personal money to run those teams and in the TBT, and it was such a valuable learning experience for me. And so I highly recommend it. But the TBT was it was a phenomenal experience around, because our alumni, you know, seeing other players that have coached against, kind of coached with some of them, it was awesome. And so I appreciate that the TBT, you know, puts that tournament on. I appreciate Dr. Elam for creating that ending and trying to advance basketball. Every game, every sport needs progress. And I think the Elam ending is progress for basketball.
Yeah, I was on the fence for a little while, even after talking to him. I hate to say that because he was such a nice guy. But and then I've heard the stat about this year when San Diego State hit that buzzer beater in the Final Four. That was the first buzzer beater since Jalen Suggs' buzzer beater against UCLA. So that's – I mean, I know we don't want to force buzzer beaters, but the Elam ending forces us to at least have a ending that we like, right? It's like an ending that we want to see, creates that excitement. So, and he hinted to me at the end of talking to – he didn't want to reveal anything, but he's up to something again. So, you know, obviously it's something that, you know, he created over 10 years ago now. It's this beautiful brainchild that, like you said, progresses basketball, and I know that he has continued to be up to something. So always trying to change and adapt to see where basketball is going. That's why I appreciate him so much. So that was all the questions I had for you. I didn't have anything off the top of my head right now, so I really appreciate the time. I know Charlotte traffic, I can't even like drive with two hands in Charlotte traffic, much less try to do a conversation on a podcast. So I do appreciate your time, and thank you so much for this again. I look forward to coming down there and catching some awesome games.
No, I thank you for having me. And if you guys ever, you know, need anything in the future, please let me know. And anyone, if they reach out to us, want to come catch a game, Queens plays fast, we shoot threes. You want to see good basketball, come to a Queens game.
Awesome. Thank you, Coach. Thanks so much to Coach Leonard for that awesome interview. Feel free to click the link in the description below. SeatGeek, $20 off your first purchase, code two pointers. Coach Leonard's stuff will be in the description below. He's really active on Twitter, really engaging with the audience and the fans and support. So support Queens. If you're anywhere near Charlotte, if you're seeing this, go check out a Queens game. I will definitely be there next year for some awesome conference matchups later in the year. I know they've got some fun non-conference as well. Looking forward to seeing and getting to talk to Coach Leonard again in the future. Thanks so much again, Coach, for the time. This has been the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Trevor Everett. We'll see you later.